Greetings, beloved, in Jesus' name, amen. Greetings, beloved, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Did you understand the song that you were singing when you said, "You are the pillar that holds my life"? Did you understand that song? Imagine the pillar that holds your life being Jesus. Do you think you will ever crumble even a single day? I was still saying to you that if Jesus is the pillar that holds your life, it doesn't matter what the devil throws at you, because you've got a pillar that cannot be shaken. Amen? And I told you to tell your neighbor that I'm still here, I'm still standing. And even if people had asked you and you share with them what you went through, they would be wondering. But you're still standing because of the pillar that holds your life. And Jesus said, the person who hears the word and holds the word and follows it is like a man who builds his house on the rock, a solid foundation, that even when storms come and winds blow, that house keep on standing. Amen? And he said, the one who hears my word and doesn't do it is like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand. When the storms come, the winds blow, that house fall. Do you know that among us here, there are those who are building their houses on the rock? Which means even on the day of trouble, you will keep on standing. But there are also those who are building their houses on the sand. You're taking a shortcut. When we tell you to stick with the word, to pray, to study the word, to come to church, you take it for granted. But how many of you know that none of us is exempted from trials? Problems don't come because you don't know Jesus or because you know Jesus. Problems comes because you are in this world, isn't it? So let's start with John 16, 33, Amplified Classic. Mr. MJ, we'll start with you. John 16, 33, Amplified Classic. I want to just show you that unlike maybe what many people would have wished for, that when I'm in Jesus, I should encounter no problem. Unfortunately, the Bible doesn't say that. Or when I'm in Jesus, I'll encounter problem like anybody else and be defeated like anybody else. Again, the Bible doesn't say that. What does the Bible say, Mr. MJ, John 16, 33?
I have told you these things.
Okay, I like Jesus. Tell your neighbor, I like Jesus and I love him because he tells us things beforehand. Amen? In other words, he prepares me beforehand. So when things come, I already know the end result. So he says, I've told you these things. Why?
So that in me, you may have perfect peace and confidence.
Mm.
In the world, you have tribulation, trials, distress and frustration.
Okay. Are you in the world?
Yes.
Yeah, so next time when somebody tells you, why am I going through this? Why are these bad things happening? Tell them you are in the world. He says, in the world, what will happen?
You have tribulation, trials, distress and frustration.
Okay. And those of you who like troubles will say, hallelujah. But Jesus did not end there, isn't it?
Yes.
Huh? Is that the end of the verse? Imagine if the verse said, in the world, you will have troubles. You will have problems. And praise God for problems. The Bible doesn't say that. So what does it say?
But
okay. So anytime when somebody says something and they say but, do you know that they are nullifying whatever they said beforehand?
Yes.
Yeah, somebody will say to you, I agree with you, but then know that they don't agree with you.
Yeah.
Amen. So he says, Jesus says, I'm telling you facts. In the world, you will have tribulation, trials, and challenges, but.
But be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Certain and undaunted, For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you and have conquered it for you.
Amen. You know why I'm courageous? You know why I'm bold? You know why I speak the way I speak? It's because Jesus said he has overcome the world for me. He said, in the world, you will have challenges, you will have troubles, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It's almost like somebody who is well prepared for exam. You know that exams, if you are not well prepared, they are scary. Yeah, tests. But if you are well prepared for it, and then you see there, you look, sometimes you enjoy writing exams, isn't it? If the paper comes and you realize, oh, they thought, yeah, they were tricking me. Oh, actually, that trick I already knew before. Oh, actually, this. Then you enjoy it. So can it also be that sometimes when you are going through some of those challenges, you feel like you are writing an easy exam? The enemy had thought he would destroy you with that, but you look at it and say, oh, but this is so much in line with the memorandum. The Lord has already said he has defeated the enemy. So even today, I want to teach you about trusting in the Lord. So we're talking about trusting in the Lord. So when we say you are the pillar that holds my life, do you know that in this world, people have got other things that they trust in? Sometimes even those of you who say you are Christians, when you are in trouble, the first thing you think about is not God. The first thing you think about is your neighbor. The first thing you think about is your lawyer. The first thing you think about is your doctor. The first thing you think about is your whatever. But is that the pillar that holds your life? Because whatever you trust in is limited in power. So I want us to start in the book of Psalms 121, verse 1 to 8. We'll go to you again, Mr. MJ. Psalms 121, verse 1 to 8. This time, just the Amplified, not Amplified Classic. I want you to look at somebody who was going through challenges and how he acknowledged that there are challenges, but where did he fix his eyes on? So the problem is not that you are going through things. It's not that you are going through challenges. But where do you turn your eyes to when you are in trouble? Okay, let's go, Mr. MJ. Psalms 121, verse 1 to 8, Amplified.
I will lift up my eyes to the hills of Jerusalem. From where shall my help come?
Okay, so when he started, he started like any of you. Do you know that when you are frustrated and there is a problem, we look everywhere for help? Huh? People who are confused look everywhere for help. Until he said, where does his help come from?
My help comes from the Lord.
So his help does not come from the mountains. His help does not come from his neighbors. His help does not come from his lawyers. His help does not come from whatever. But it comes from
the Lord.
The Lord. And that's in whom I trust. Read, who is this Lord?
Who made heaven and earth?
So he's just actually showing you how powerful this God is. So it means if my help comes from the Lord who made heavens and the earth, then I've got the supreme authority in my life.
Amen. He will not allow your foot to slip. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will not slumber briefly, nor sleep soundly.
Do you guys think that God sleeps? Do you think he falls asleep? He doesn't. So he says, who keeps you? He does not slumber. He does not sleep. Even briefly. He doesn't take a nap. So it means anytime he's ready for me. Jesus on the main line. Jesus on the main line. Mainline, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line now. Every time he's ready to listen to you. Continue.
The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will protect you from all evil.
I like that. When the Lord, so whatever the enemy is planning against my life, the Lord has already made a plan to protect me from all evil. Amen. All things that the enemy is plotting against you, the Bible says the Lord will protect you from all evil. And what will he do with my life?
He will keep your life.
You are the pillar that holds. Master Jesus. So for me, when he says, you will protect me from all evil, I know that there are things that the enemy is plotting against my life. And he says, he will keep your life. Amen. My life cannot be snatched. And you need to say it for yourself. Sometimes I say these things and you think the pastor is arrogant. I'm speaking my faith. I'm speaking what God has said about my life. So that then what I'm trusting God for will always be fulfilled in my life. Continue.
The Lord will guide your going out and your coming in, everything that you do, from this time forth and forever.
Yes. The Lord will guard my going out, my coming in. So whatever I do, wherever I go, the Lord takes care. Amen. And he does that for you too. If you are a child of God. The only problem is if you don't know what you trust in. Like I said, in this world, people trust in different things. Let's go to Psalms 20 verse 7. Mr. Mukosi, you will do NIV. Psalms 20 verse 7. I want you to see that not all of us trust in the Lord. Even now as we are here in church. We're telling you to trust in God, but you're still saying, Pastor, you've got to be realistic. The moment you tell me, Pastor, you've got to be realistic, I know you are not trusting in the Lord. You are trusting in your strength. And you look at your strength and see that you are outnumbered. You see that the enemy has got an upper hand. Then you say, you've got to be realistic. Do we usually say, you've got to be realistic? I'm more than a conqueror. Usually you say you've got to be realistic when you want to fail. We have got to be realistic when you want to succumb to defeat. You don't say you've got to be realistic, we are more than conquerors. You don't say you've got to be realistic and quote a verse. Have you ever heard somebody saying you've got to be realistic and quote a verse? The language of being realistic is not the vocabulary of our master. Because reality has got to be changed by your faith. Amen. So it depends on what you trust in. Mr. Mukosi, Psalms 20 verse 7.
Some trust in chariots and some in horses.
Okay. So he starts by some. But what about us?
But we trust in the name of the Lord our God.
Amen. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Can you tell your neighbor, some trust in chariots, some in horses,
some
in many other things.
But
as for me, I trust in the name of the Lord, my God. Amen. Even when I'm in trouble, I call upon the name of the Lord. Even when the enemy is attacking, I call upon the name of the Lord. You know what is the good thing with the name of the Lord? You cannot forget it at home. Do you know that if you were relying on natural means, Sometimes whatever you are trusting in, you forget it. But we don't forget. So God has actually made it nice. He put your victory in your mouth and in your heart. And you go with your mouth and your heart everywhere you go. So it means you can win every time. Problems will come, challenges will come, but you will defeat them. Amen. The problem is when you trust in horses, you trust in chariots, you trust in your ability, you trust in that one, you trust in that one. When problem hits, you start by thinking about who will help me. Your eyes go to the mountains. But you need to always say, I trust in the Lord. And actually, God doesn't like it when we trust in other things and not Him. The other time I gave you this simple example. Can I see the hands of parents? Okay. So when you are a parent, and let's say you've got children, you want your children to trust you, isn't it? Yeah. Imagine your child asks you money for school fees or to buy books, and you say, yes, I'll give you. Then you hear your child talking to the neighbor, just in case my mommy doesn't give me the money for school fees, I just want to make contingency plan. How will you feel? So do you think even when you go for other options, God hears it? Huh? You said, I'm trusting God, I'm believing you, God. And then when you're going for that option, do you think God hears it? Huh? He hears it. How do you think He feels? It's impossible to please God without faith. And he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Amen? So instead of thinking about those options, did you know that sometimes the better problems are those ones where there is no option two? You see, these problems where usually there is another option, they sometimes make us to misbehave because you think of the other option. But how many of you know that sometimes there are problems that there is no other way? It has to be the Lord out of here. Amen? So you can as well start learning to trust God with those small things and don't go for alternatives. Look at this. Isaiah 2, verse 22 NIV. Mr. Mukosi will do this one again. Isaiah 2, 22 NIV, and then Mr. MJ, you will open Isaiah 31, 1, New King James Version. We're going to read those two verses together at the same time. And I want you to look at how God does not like it when we go somewhere for help instead of trusting Him. Isaiah 2, 22 NIV, Isaiah 31, 1, New King James Version. And look at what God says about that, because I understand. I also wouldn't like it when I thought that you trust me, but I hear you talking to somebody else, just in case he doesn't do that, can we make another plan? I will feel hurt. Because I told you I will do it for you. So God says, I told you that I'm your healer. I told you that I'll protect you. I told you that I'm your provider. Okay, so let's hear what he says about trusting in people.
Stop trusting in mere humans who have but a breath in their nostril. Why hold them in esteem?
Just repeat. So that verse is talking to all of us, isn't it? Mm. What must we do?
Stop trusting in mere humans who have but nothing but a breath in their nostrils. Why hold them in esteem?
Okay. Stop trusting in mere humans. God knows that we like trusting in mere humans. Stop trusting in mere humans. And in Isaiah 31, Mr. MJ, he even goes further to even say you are in trouble actually when you trust in people. I think you are in trouble for two reasons. One is that sometimes people will disappoint you. Sometimes they don't have the power to do what they said they will do. And now you want to use God as option two. Okay. Read for us Isaiah 31:1, New King James Version.
Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but who do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord.
He says, woe. In other words, you are in trouble if you keep on going down to the world for help and not seek your God. Because as much as we are singing, you are the pillar that holds our lives, in reality, sometimes we have got other pillars. And he says, stop that. So now I'm going to take an example for you. I'll take it from the Old Testament, because the people in the Old Testament, their trust in God was tested really more than some of us. Okay? Because did you know that the things that you are trusting God for, even if it didn't work, usually you don't die. Huh? Let's say you are trusting God to get a job and you don't get a job, do you die? You're trusting God for money, you don't get money, do you die? You're trusting God for this, but I will show you from the word where people, most of the stories we read, whether you're talking about Daniel in the lion's den, if you say, I'm trusting God, if your faith doesn't get you out of there, you are dead. Lions will devour you. If they are going to throw you in the burning fiery furnace and your God doesn't deliver you, you are dead. That's how their faith was tested. So the other time I was saying to Pastor Jay, my wife, I was saying to her, but do you know that sometimes the enemy will make you worry a lot about things? There are two problems with worry. Some of those things that you worry a lot about today, in 2 weeks' time you realize, actually there was no problem. Why did I worry? I mean, that thing was really blown out of proportion. Or even if in 2 weeks' time he's still there, and you were worried and worried and worried. Jesus says, who of you can change anything by worrying? You could have as well relaxed. Amen. 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 Yeah. So, let's look at Hezekiah. I want to first tell you what the Bible says about Hezekiah, and then we'll go for a story where he was facing a real challenge. So those of you who want to be realistic, I don't know how more real can you be more than the trouble that Hezekiah was facing. And yet, in that, he trusted in God. Let's go 2 Kings chapter 18, verse 5, New King James Version. Mr. Mkosi will take verse 5, and then Mr. MJ, you will go the 2 Kings 18, 19 to 36. You're both doing it in New King James Version. But I want to show you what God says about Hezekiah. And then you go what he went through. You see what he went through. And see if we can learn something. Like I told you, most of the people that we read about in the Bible, the challenges they were facing, they were a life and death situation. But most of the challenges we face, it's not really life and death. Do you know that? Think about the thing that you thought is a very big problem. Now, are you going to be killed? Huh? So, but you still think it's a very big problem. I can't even sleep. There were others who were going to be killed, like Peter, who was going to be beheaded the next day. But he so much trusted in the Lord that he was sound asleep when the angel came to deliver him. That's trusting in God. Trusting in God like a baby, as if that problem is not there, because I know who holds the future. Amen. Life is worth a living because he lives. Oh, yes. Amen? Amen? So let's see about Hezekiah. Mr. Mkosi, you start 18 verse 5, New King James Version. Hezekiah.
He trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor who were before him.
Hey, did you see the standard? Huh? The Bible says Hezekiah trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that before him there was no king who trusted God like that. Even after him, There was no other king who trusted God like that. Did you see that? Amen. But look at what he went through and see that trust being tested. Did you know that all of us, when we are here, if I ask you, do you trust in God? We all say, I trust in God, isn't it? But whether you trust in God or not will be seen on the day of trouble, on the day of challenge, on the day when that problem hits. Then we see what you trust in. When you are under pressure, that's when what you are full of will come up. Mr. Norke, you know I like the story of a sponge. So I usually give the example of a sponge. If you take a sponge and soak it in red ink and you squeeze it, what comes out? Red ink. If you put the sponge in black ink and you squeeze it, what comes out? Okay. Now, if you put a person in whatever you guys are soaking yourself in, when you are soaked by challenges, what will come out? The things that you were busy with. Yeah. You think that when you were busy with, whether it's soapies or whatever other things that are occupying your mind, when troubles come and they squeeze you, those things must come out. But imagine if I'm soaked in the word, I'm soaked in the word, and the enemy makes a mistake of squeezing me, what will come out? Oops. That's what the devil must do with you. So when he tries to squeeze you, all of a sudden the word comes out and you speak like Jesus. It is written. It is written. It is written. And the devil says, what did I do now? But if when he squeezes you, now you say, I don't know why these things are happening in my life. He will keep on squeezing. Now he realizes there is no word here. May it be that when the enemy squeezes you, the word comes out. So look at this. 2 Kings 18, 19 to 36. Mr. MJ, so we want to see people being tested. And when you are challenged, sometimes even people will talk to you discouraging things. Even people close to you may tell you discouraging things, isn't it? Sometimes you say you are trusting God and people tell you, who do you think you are? 2 Kings 18, 19 to 36.
And then the Rabshakeh said to them, say now to Hezekiah, thus says the great king, the king of Assyria, what confidence is this in which you trust?
So they were testing his trust. So the king of Assyria at that time wanted to come and annex Hezekiah and his kingdom. And he was saying, what are you trusting in? Why are you so confident in that which you trust? Mm-hmm.
You speak of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words.
Do you ever remember when you are confessing your faith and somebody said, and now it's just words? Tell your neighbor, the enemy doesn't know that my words are powerful. So even here, you will see what the Rabshakeh will see. Even the king of Syria, they will see that what they call mere words, they are powerful words because they are words spoken after God.
Amen.
Repeat.
You speak of having plans and power for war, but they are mere words. And in whom do you trust that you rebel against me? Now look, you are trusting in the staff of this broken reed, Egypt, on which if a man leans, it will go into his hand and pierce it. So is Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who trust in him. But if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God.
Do you sometimes say we trust in the Lord? So he says, if you say to me, we trust in the Lord our God, we want to show you the flaw also there. What is the flaw?
Is it not he whose high places and whose altars Hezekiah has taken away and said to Judah and Jerusalem, you shall worship before this altar in Jerusalem? Now therefore, I urge you, give a pledge to my master, the king of Assyria, and I'll give you 2,000 horses if you are able on your part to put riders on them. Mm-hmm. How then will you repel one captain of the list of my master's servants and put your trust in Egypt for chariots and horsemen?
Okay, go to verse
29. Thus says the king, do not let Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you from his hand.
Oh, do you know that there are some people who will say, don't let the pastor deceive you? That man is misleading you. So here they were also saying to the people, so actually what they did, they were even more funny. They spoke in the language that the people understand, and then the leader said, no, don't speak to us in Hebrew. Speak in Aramaic, we understand it, so that other people mustn't hear it. Then he swore. I just skipped those things where he was swearing. So he told them what they would drink, and he was keeping on blaspheming. But then, now he says, don't let Hezekiah, don't let that preacher of yours deceive you. But that preacher of yours is telling you what God said. That Hezekiah is telling you what God has said. Okay, he says, don't let that Hezekiah deceive you. Mm-hmm.
Now let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord.
Oh, is it wrong? Huh? To trust in the Lord. Don't let that preacher make you trust in God.
Mm-hmm. Saying, the Lord will surely deliver us. This city shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Do not listen to Hezekiah.
Hey, verse 32. So he says, don't listen to him, don't listen to him, don't listen to that pastor, don't listen to this. These preachers, they are all in it for money. Don't listen to them, they are all in it for money. Continue.
Until I come and take you away to a land like your own land, a land of grain and new wine, a land of bread and vineyards, a land of olive groves and honey, that you may live and not die. But do not listen to Hezekiah.
Hey, this man was persistent, eh? Eh? But you see all these things, but don't ever let that pastor of yours. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Don't listen to him. Continue.
Lest he pursued you saying, the Lord will deliver us.
But it's a better persuasion. If Hezekiah is telling you that the Lord will deliver us, the Lord will help us, is that not the better way? If the preacher is telling you the Lord will heal you, even when they told you you've got a terminal disease, is that not a better way? If the preacher is telling you the Lord will protect you, what's wrong with that? If the preacher tells you the Lord will provide for you, what's wrong with that? Now the Rabshakeh and others will keep on telling you, don't trust those guys. Okay, continue.
Has any of the gods of the nations at all delivered its land from the hand of the king of Assyria? Where are the gods of Hamath and Arpad? Where are the gods of Hena?
So he's talking about all the other gods. All other gods, works of man, but you are the most high God. There is none like you. So those people, they were defeated because they were serving all these other gods. But my God is not a work of man. So go to chapter 19, verse 1 to 7, Mr. MJ. So let's hear, still in the New King James Version, chapter 19, 1 to 7, and then Mr. Mkosi will do 15 to 19, the same New King James Version. Now when Hezekiah heard that, do you know that sometimes we even hear what people say about your pastors? What is worse is that there are even some people who gossip about their pastors. then you are in the wrong church. If you are here and you start gossiping about this pastor, you're wasting your time, because the anointing that's on this pastor will not work for you. Yeah. Amen. So now Hezekiah hears this. And let's see how he reacted to all those that people were saying.
And so it was, when King Hezekiah heard it, that he tore his clothes, covered himself with sackcloth, and went into the house of the Lord.
Hey, I like people who, when they have problems, they go away.
House of the Lord.
Yeah. Tell your neighbor, when you have a problem, go to the house of the Lord. Unfortunately, the devil does it this way. When you have a problem, he gives you all the reasons why you shouldn't go to church. He gives you all the reason why you must quit church. You must even stop believing God. What did you gain by believing God? He knows he wants to get you. Okay? So he's deceiving you to get you out from among other buffaloes. I told you the story of a buffalo before. We actually, the week before last, when we were in Limpopo, we went to Kruger National Park. We saw about 50 buffaloes all at once. Okay? But what was amazing, that they were all in a certain format. And then the little ones were in between them. Why? So that if the enemy comes, we are all geared up to face the enemy. And my back is covered, my fellow buffalo. Tell your neighbor, be my fellow buffalo. That I can trust you. I don't have to guard my back. Because I know you are there. So buffaloes have got a better sense to protect one another. So this one faces that way, that one faces that way, that one faces that way. So if you are among us, be protected. Amen. But if the lion roars and you think you are wise and you jump out from the flock, what happens to that buffalo? It's dead before it dies. Tell your neighbor, it's dead before it dies. You know beforehand, isn't it? If a buffalo jumps out, then you know it's dead before it dies. Amen. So don't be like that. So even when troubles are there and they want you to jump, say, hey, I can't jump. I won't jump. So Hezekiah, when he heard these things, he went to the house of the Lord. Continue.
Then he sent Eliakim, who was over the household, Shebna the scribe, and the elders of the priests, covered with sackcloth, to Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos. And they said to him, thus says Hezekiah, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. For the children have come to birth, but there is no strength to bring them forth. It may be that the Lord your God will hear all the words of the Rabshakeh, whom his master, the king of Assyria, has sent to reproach the living God.
Okay, I want you to look at this. I like what these servants were saying. They say, when you go to Isaiah, ask Isaiah to pray for us and all that. It might be that the Lord has heard what the Rabshakeh has said, being sent by the king of Assyria to do what? To reproach
the living God.
So whenever the enemy is challenging you, he's challenging your God. Amen. Amen? Amen. Yes. That's why even those who come against you, the Lord says they are coming against him. He says, I will be an enemy to your enemies, an adversary to your adversaries. And when Saul was persecuting the church, he was struck down by lightning, and the word said to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It will be hard for you to kick against the pricks. Because when you come against me, you are coming against the Most High. You are coming against God. Continue.
And will rebuke the words which the Lord your God has heard. Therefore, Lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. So the servants of King Hezekiah came to Isaiah, and Isaiah said to them, "Thus it shall say to your master, thus says the Lord, do not be afraid of the words which you have heard."
Okay. So can you tell your neighbor, don't be afraid of those threats that you heard. Some of those threats come with you. Some of you don't want to receive some registered notices because you think it's coming from lawyers. So don't be afraid of them. Be bold. Say, my Lord will fight for me. I'm in this with God. Continue.
Do not be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servants of the king of Assyria has blasphemed me.
Oh, so when they were doing that, they were blaspheming who?
God.
Yeah. So be very careful what you do, thinking you are blaspheming me, because that's blasphemy against God. So he says, don't be afraid of them. They have started war, now they are fighting with me. That's why the Bible says the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's, and the victory is yours. Continue.
Surely I will send a spirit upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land.
So the Lord has already said what he will do with your enemies. Tell your neighbor, the Lord has already said what he will do with your enemies. The Lord has already said what he will do with your problems. Trust him. He's well able to do what he promised. So go to verse 15. Mr. Mukosi, now you tell us what Hezekiah prayed to the Lord.
Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim."
Oh, I want you to look at how Hezekiah prays. Do you know that if it's you, you would have started straight away with a problem? Huh? But look at how Hezekiah prays. He prays as if there is no problem. He's still coming. Amen? He's just approaching the Lord by telling him who he is, by telling him how great he is, so that now when he talks about his problem, the problem will look small. Imagine I start by saying, "Oh Lord, the mighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth." Then when I talk about him creating a small thing for me, it becomes a small thing, man. So listen to how he prays.
"You are God, you alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. You have made heaven and earth."
Hey, I like how these people prayed. Did he tell us what is the problem yet?
No.
He's just first telling God who he is and why he trusts in him. Continue.
"Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see. And hear the words of Chenaribim, which he has to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the king of Assyria have laid waste to the nations and their lands, and cast their gods into the fire. For they were not gods."
Yeah, all these other gods, they were?
"They were the works of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them."
Mm-hmm.
"Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I pray,
amen,
save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God and you alone."
Amen. So, Lord, give me victory so that these people will know that you are God. Even those that were reproaching me, even those that were ridiculing me, may you give me the victory and may they see that you are God.
Amen.
Amen. So, God gives you victory not only for your sake, but for his sake also. Because when he shows himself strong on your behalf and you win, even those that were ridiculing God will stop ridiculing God. Because they can see what God has done in your life. Now go to verse 20. Mr. MJ, go to 20 and then you'll go 32 to 37.
And then Isaiah, the son of Amoz, sent to Hezekiah, saying, thus says the Lord God of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard.
Hey, it's good when you're reading that, Mr. MJ, because you also are our leader in prayer. Because you have prayed to me, I have heard. It's sorted. Because you have prayed and trusted in me, I have heard. It's sorted. But was it sorted in the natural yet? Huh? In the natural, it was still as gloomy as it always has been. But he says, because you trusted in me, because you have prayed to me, I have heard. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have already received the things that we ask of him. So, to show that he has heard him, go to verse 32 and keep on hearing what God is going to do now. So, I like it that the devil does not have a final say. Those Rabshakeh and all those people that were cursing, look at what God will do to them. Even those challenges that are ridiculing you and your faith, our Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The enemy will always be defeated. The elder, the other time I was preaching, he said, the devil has got a track record of defeat. You know that? Do you know that the devil has got a track record of defeat? Even the ones he should win, he loses. The other time, I think usually commentators in games, when you, let's say you are well ahead, like 3-0 or something maybe in soccer, they will say, you have it to lose. In other words, it's up to you now to decide to lose it. And we wonder, how do you snatch defeat out of the jaw of victory? Because you were supposed to win. So now, let's see what the Lord says. Verse 32.
Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the king of Assyria. He shall not come into this city.
Yeah, so I like it when the Lord declares. So even if the enemy says, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to destroy your children, I'm going to do this and this, let him speak. As long as the master has not spoken, that's not the final word. The devil does not have a final say.
Amen?
He can speak. But now the Lord is declaring. That's why I also like making a declaration about my life, about my future. I declare things. I'm a king. Kings declare. So hear the declaration of the Lord. He shall
not come into this city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor come before it with shield, nor build a siege mound against it. By the way that he came, by the same shall he return.
Amen.
And he shall not...
That's what will happen to your enemies. They will come against you one way and they will go back in seven ways.
Amen.
Continue.
By the way that he came, by the same shall he return. And he shall not come into this city.
Why?
Says the Lord.
Why?
For I will defend this city.
I like it when the Lord says, now I'm taking it upon myself. You know, people usually say you are taking the law into your hands. So here the Lord says, I'm taking this now into my hands. I'll deal with it.
Yeah.
That's why the Bible says, do not revenge. Don't fight with those that are fighting with you. Don't pay vengeance. The vengeance belongs to the Lord. Love even those that are abusing you. Because the Lord says, the battle is mine. So he says, I will defend. Start that 34.
For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake.
Oh, I like verse 34, Pastor Jay, my wife. I know she sometimes likes saying, I'm praying here, and even if you're not doing it for that. Do it for your servant, for the sake of your servant, talking about me. So sometimes, even when you are praying, you say, Lord, I may not deserve this, but may you do it even for the sake of what our pastor told us. Amen. So he says, I'm going to defend you for the sake of my name and for the sake of my servant David's sake. So that's why we talk also about blessing by association. Some of the things you get in them because the Lord is doing it for my sake. And then because you are nearer, then you get what David gets. Amen? He says, I'm going to defend it. Hey, but Lord, you're now taking matters into your own hands. He says, I'm going to defend it for my own sake. And for the sake of my servant. May the Lord do that also for you. May he defend you and protect you and provide for you. For his name's sake and for the sake of his servant. Amen. Especially when you are believing this. The Lord will do it for his sake and for the sake of his servant. Continue.
And it came to pass.
Yeah, it will come to pass. Tell your neighbor, it shall come to pass. What the Lord has spoken about me shall come to pass. Yes. Clap hands and say it. Yes. What the Lord has spoken about me, it shall come to pass. The devil can't stop it. Yes. So let's read. What will come to pass? Read. Start with, it shall come to pass.
And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out.
I want you to look at something here. When the Lord protects you, here I want you to see how many angels were there and how many people were killed. Okay? That's a comprehension test. Mr. MJ, read for us.
And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out.
How many angels?
One.
Okay, went out and did what?
And killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000.
Yo! Say yo!
Yo!
Just one angel. He goes out and kills. So it means if I'm in the Lord's army, even if it's just one angel, I'm sorted. Amen. He goes out and kill 185,000.
Sure.
That's what your God does. Amen. Continue.
And when people arose early in the morning, there were the corpses. All dead.
Sure. Yeah. So what will happen to Sennacherib now? So look at the word of God coming to pass. So just wait. Tell your neighbor, just wait. It's a matter of time, man. Things are unfolding.
Things are unfolding.
Continue. What happened now to Sennacherib?
So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh. Now it came to pass. As he was worshiping
So this thing of it coming to pass, I like it. It shall come to pass. You know the Bible says, and it came to pass. It shall come to pass. Amen. Uh-huh. It came to pass. What happened?
As he was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch, as he was worshiping in the temple of Nisroch, his God.
Yeah, God with a small g. That's why you will get killed for these gods. Look at what happened. He was worshiping in the temple of his God with a small g.
That his sons, Adramelech and Sharezer, strike him down with the sword, and they escape into the land of Ararat. Then Ereshkigal, his son, reigned in his place.
Tell your neighbor, did you see what is the fate of the enemy? It pays to trust God. Amen. It pays to trust God. Even when it looks bleak, trust in God. Depend upon him. Know that my God is there for me. My God will fight for me. My God will defend me. My God will give me victory. And trust him. Amen?
Amen.
So let me land. We'll pick this up next time. About this trusting in God, trusting in God. But let me land with Matthew chapter 11. Verse 25 to 30, Mr. MJ will do it in the Message translation. So we're going to land with this one because I'm teaching you about trusting in the Lord. Even if we know you have problems, even if we know you've got challenges, that's more reason why you need to learn to trust God more. Then you will be able to sing, through it all, through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I have learned to depend upon his word. Sing that song even when you are still going through it. Through it all, through it all, I have learned to trust in Jesus, and I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I have learned to try depend upon his word. So this word, it's so simple, but the people who are intellectuals, those ones who like reasoning, they miss it. Amen? Look at what Jesus says when I'm concluding with this one, because Jesus shows us how people miss the simple word because of their intellect. But then he is inviting all of us to come to him, whatever challenge that you have, whatever burden that you have, bring it to Jesus. And even those of you who do not know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I'm going to make a call for you that I can pray with you that Jesus, you can have this Jesus, you can have this confidence that some of us has. So read for us Matthew 11, 25 to 30 Message, Mr. MJ.
Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer.
Hey, abruptly. So Jesus just started praying quickly.
Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You have concealed your ways from the sophisticates and know-it-alls.
Yeah, the sophisticates and the know-it-alls. He says those ones are the ones who will miss it. And Jesus was very happy about that. So Jesus quickly said, thank you, Father, that you've actually concealed this from the know-it-all and the sophisticated ones.
But spell them out clearly to ordinary people.
Yes.
Yes.
Can we just be ordinary? Mere man. And he makes it plain to us.
Yes.
Yes. Start with yes, verse 26.
Yes, Father. That's the way you like to work.
Hey, that's tell your neighbor, that's how God wants to work. Because imagine if the word of God was so complicated and it needed a PhD.
Hey.
It would be a problem, isn't it? Because not all of us can achieve that.
Yeah.
So he made it so simple that the sophisticated ones end up missing it because they want to be realistic. Continue.
Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly.
Oh, so at first maybe he wasn't that tender. Eh?
Yeah.
Now he's speaking to them tenderly. Yeah, let's hear now tenderly.
The Father has given me all these things to do and say. This is a unique father-son operation, coming out of father and son intimacies and knowledge. No one knows the son the way the father does, nor the father the way the son does, but I'm not keeping it to myself.
Oh, okay. Mm. Jesus, you're not keeping it to yourself.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen.
Jesus is ready to teach each one of us line by line as long as you are willing to listen.
Mm. Are you tired?
Mm-hmm.
Worn out? Burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest.
That's what Jesus does. So when he says, even with all those things that are troubling you, even all those burdens, come to me who are weary and heavy laden. I'll show you how to rest, even when you have those problems. I'll show you how to sleep and fall asleep, even when you have those things.
Mm.
I want to give you my peace.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you.
So he says, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Grace is that ability to be able to rest in God and relax as if you are the pillar that holds. Because then you keep on seeing that even if these things on the side, they want me to take my attention away to them. Okay? So as we continue, even next week as we share, you will see how the enemy sometimes wants us to focus on our problems instead of focusing on Jesus.
Amen.
Because Peter, when he said to Jesus, if it's you, let me tell me to come to you walking on the water. Jesus said, come. And when Peter started, I think he was looking at Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Then he got out of the water, got out of the boat, started walking toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he started doubting and he started sinking. So when you keep on looking at your problems, you are going to sink. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, you will be victorious.
Amen. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly.
Amen. Are you going to trust in God?
Amen.
Are you learning to trust in God more and more?
Amen.
Is your perspective about your problem changing? And you need to pray like Hezekiah prayed. You need to start by telling God how great he is. And when you tell him, you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are from everlasting to everlasting. You are the almighty God, the most high. Then when I talk about my problem, it looks small. But if you go to God and start talking about your problem, then you've got no frame of reverence. Then you are still going there being scared. So can we stand up and thank God for the word that we've heard? And just the things that were troubling you. You start talking like Hezekiah, even before you can see it. You remember when the man of God said through Isaiah the prophet, he told Hezekiah the word, I told you nothing had changed, but because the Lord has spoken, it's already done. Amen. So let's thank God for the word that we've heard.